Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
A casual Japanese tavern with a more upscale chef's table coming in the back, run by a chef that's worked at some of the most premier Japanese restaurants in the area.
I'm from Kawasaki, Japan.
He's worked at the Borgata, Pod, Zama, Morimoto, and now he's opening his own spot in Fishtown.
I make this menu what actually I grew up with. Based on?
This is a podcast about food in and around Philadelphia.
That's a quick, delicious, flavorful bite.
Because it was really hard for me to get into it.
Stories from behind the kitchen.
This is a wood-burning oven from Italy.
It is intense.
And hear about quirky stuff, too.
Eat a pint of ice cream as quickly as you can, and then resume the 5K.
This is What's Cooking on KYW.
I'm Hadass Kuznets at 1832 Frankfurt Avenue in Fishtown at the brand new Izakaya by Yanaga. And I'm with chef owner Kevin Yanaga. And this is part of a partnership with Glue Hospitality. I understand they brought you in to run the food here at Izakaya. So tell me about your background, chef. I understand you have extensive experience here in Philly.
Yes, I work in a few Japanese restaurants in the city, such as Morimoto, Pod, Zama, and the Double Knot.
And so when Glue Hospitality said, like, how can you explain how that went? How did they bring you in to run this Izakaya?
So I had a relationship before, and they always wanted to do a Japanese restaurant, and then this location came up. So then we decided to do a Izakaya menu, which is in an English term, it's more like a casual dining, such as a tavern. So it's a comfort food, you know, a lot of small plates and paired with sake, beer, you know, a lot of drinks.
How does it compare to the type of food you've been cooking all these years?
I mean, I'm a more sushi chef, so people know me for more like non-cooking food, like raw fish, sushi. But this time I really want to showcase that there's different type of the Japanese cuisine.
Can you take us through your thought process in preparing the menu for Izakaya?
Basically, I make this menu what actually I grew up with, based on, and also added the element that it fits in Philly, especially like in a fish town. That's my thought process.
So tell me about what you ate when you were growing up and where did you live?
I'm from Kawasaki, Japan. Kawasaki is it's a 5 minutes drive from Tokyo.
Do you have any childhood food memories that have influenced your menu today?
Oh, yes. So curry is a very popular dish in Japan. I mean, like my mom used to make it. Any, you know, household make the curry or chicken karaage, which is a Japanese style fried chicken. So I was thinking first what I want to do was chicken karaage. It's a very popular dish. So I really work on this karaage dish. It's just a simple fried chicken, but it's just really go well with your drinks.
What differentiates Japanese fried chicken from American fried chicken?
Oh, first of all, it's boneless and it's marinated in soy-based marinade. So that's the kind of difference. And the size is a lot smaller. And I think mine's juicier too.
So how long did you live in Japan?
I was in Japan until I was 28. I came in the U.S. in 1999. So I've been here like 22 years. I was there forever, I feel like, yes.
You came here professionally?
Well, my background was in Japan. I was actually cooking before I came in the U.S., but it wasn't like Japanese cuisine or sushi. I was doing the more, let's say, like Japanese style, French, or there's a genre that called like no limit, no border. So I was kind of doing the everything, a little bit of the everything. And when I came in the U.S., naturally it's easier to adapt that, you know. Like start working in a restaurant, and at that time Japanese was the easiest choice that I had because I didn't speak English well. So
were you like, oh, that's just my home dish, my home food?
yes, that's so true. Yes, that's how I started cooking. I mean, like sushi and yes, Japanese cuisine. Yes.
And then how did the English come?
As I deal with the people, yeah, start learning little by little. Yes.
Yeah. This is only 22 years worth of English. That's really good.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
I was gonna say, that's very good.
22 years is a pretty long. I feel like. Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if it's depends on how old you are, yeah. Right?
Yes.
What do you like best about like what you're cooking, or you know? How is this? I know that this is the first time that this is your restaurant.
Well, actually, yes. I mean, this. I have two parts. The front side is a izakaya, but we're gonna build the sushi bar in a backside, which is gonna be a chef's table. Actually, this is where I'd like to showcase my food. A lot of sushi, but also a lot of amuse, like small dish. It's not necessarily super traditional Japanese, but like I like to bring more local items into these small plates. So that way people feel the more local stuff. And I like to turn this place into, let's say, Fishtown style sushi omakase place.
So would this be considered the fine dining section of your style? Like that's the casual, this is fine dining?
I would say so. Well, I like to go more like a not super fine dining, but to compare to a front side, izakaya side, definitely it's going to be a more structure. I mean like a course menu. So yes, it's going to be a omakase by Yanaga.
And what does omakase mean?
Omakase bean is up to chef. So it's a chef's choice of a tasting menu.
So you're going to have a omakase in the back and an izakaya in the front?
That's correct, yes.
Is that like business in the back and party in the front?
That's exactly what I like to do, yes.
So how do you envision the restaurant working? So is this back area where we're standing, it looks like, you know, this is coming.
Right.
But in the front, the izakaya is gorgeous and done with plenty of art. So what's the plan and the vision?
We're already open.
Yeah.
And we are actually closing for Labor Day, Sunday, Monday. And then after that, we're coming back to open. And hopefully, we're going to finish the construction as fast as possible in the backside and open omakase room by October, probably end of the October.
So people come in with a prefix menu?
Yes, that's correct, yes. And it's going to be a 12 seats only, so probably we need to have a reservation.
So who's running the kitchen?
My chef de cuisine, the Tom Lamont, is going to run the kitchen while I'm doing the omakase at the omakase room.
So, I mean, you mentioned it in the beginning of the podcast, but I think it's important to drive home the fact that some of the restaurants that you're mentioning are some of the best, some of the, you know, most expensive, some of the nicest. You've worked at the Borgata, you've worked with different names in the business. Like, what did you learn from the places where you've worked?
Actually, I learned a lot of cooking element, but meantime, I learned a lot of a business side of it too, like how to deal with the people and actually how to run the restaurant. So that was a really benefit for me to work at the bigger company.
You mean like payroll and, you know,
yes,
like product and...
Payrolls to run the kitchen as you're managing people and the products and where to get it and what to get it kind of stuff, yes.
What are you most excited about with your own restaurant here?
I guess on the restaurant, it's whatever you do, it's all coming back to you. So I think that's more excitement. And also, I can decide what kind of stuff I could cater to my guests. That's the most excitement, yeah. I think.
Tell me about the design.
We have a designer, and we actually brought a few local artists to do our decor, too. Pictures and like metalwork and woodwork and light work, stuff like that.
You do have a lot of metal, and it's like an industrial look,
yes,
in here.
Yes, this is one of the artists did it for us. It's still, we're working on that.
Is this the look of a traditional Japanese pub?
No, not at all. It's more like a Western style, I think. We want to be kind of like a mix of, you know, Japanese with the Western twist.
You have a very large bar, so is that a focus?
It looks good.
It looks good, yeah. Sake.
Yes. A lot of sake and a lot of shochu, Japanese whiskey, and Japanese gin. We're going to have this highball machine from the Suntory, which is a pretty popular Japanese liquor brand. And they make this Japanese gin. So we're going to do gin highball, which is going to be a... Highball is it's a cocktail made of the a lot of carbonate soda. Usually it's a whiskey, but we're going to do with the gin. So it's going to be a gin cocktail.
With carbonation.
With a carbonation, yes. A lot of carbonation. This machine is going to create a lot of carbonation, so which is going to be fantastic. That's what I heard.
What's been the most difficult part about opening?
What's difficult?
Or like how have you been prepared?
It's a lot of... It's almost like everything comes at the same time when we're opening. And... finding a staff to trying to get the construction done, to trying to get the products in, to so on. I mean, it feels like just working for someone is a lot easier.
Because they make all the decisions.
Yes, yes. I don't have to worry about anything, yes.
So what has that learning curve been like now that you're making the decisions and you're calling the shots and making the deadlines?
It's good, but meantime, it's really tough. Yeah, sometimes I have to say tough stuff that I don't want to really say. Mean stuff too, yes.
Like, what's the culture like when you're like strict, and what is that like?
Yes, I mean, like a restaurant industry is a chain of the command, you know. It's like always like a black and white, you know.
You either do it or you don't do it.
Yes, something like that, you know. If it's my way or highway kind of mentality, you know. But nowadays it's a little changing, so it's in a better way.
Well, you're the boss now.
I'm not that hardcore, you know. Yeah. I want to be work as a team, you know. I mean, it's not like 20 years ago. When I started, it was very tough, but now people don't work that way, so.
Staffing been an issue, and has it changed your style of how you run your business?
It is, yes. So, like... people throw the pots and
it's true. You don't come in, you're fired, right? But now please come in, right?
Yes, it's exactly, yeah. But in a nice, very nice, you know. It's so hard to finding people. I don't know where's everybody's gone, you know.
I'm hearing that from everybody.
Oh, yes. I ask all my chef friends to spare people, or, you know, it's so hard to find people. If you know anybody, please let me know, yeah? Please bring people in.
Come, stop by and drop off your resume?
Yes, something like that, please.
Ask for Chef Yanaga.
Thank you, yes.
So how can you run a business when you're so short on staffing? How can you open a business?
Well, we got to do what we got to do. I mean, the menu is created, you know, by what we can do. So it's in some part, I made a smaller menu, and things that works more practical.
What are your expectations now with coronavirus? And I mean, I know that it's been very difficult on the restaurant industry. Are you planning to encounter any hiccups in the future? Are you planning for that?
That's a very tough question to answer. But yeah, hopefully things get changed, you know, get better. I'm just hoping, yes, to get better, you know, situation.
I bet in all these years, you never thought you would have to think, like, do I need to make vaccine requirements? Do I need to make a health code?
That's exactly, yeah. Even like we have to ask guests to, you know, like if you're vaccinated or, well, actually, I don't want to do that kind of stuff, but yeah. Or you got to mandate masks. Well, it's very tough, yes. For our, like, a restaurant business, it's a hospitality business, not something that you're policing someone, you know. You can't do this, or you can't, you know, have a meal at our place. That's not us things to really do, but now I think we have to do this kind of stuff. That's hard, yes.
So are you requiring vaccinations or just masks?
Just masks right now. As far as, you know, like, city is not going to ask us, we're not going to do it. But in the near future, we don't know what's going to happen. So
depends on the numbers, right?
Exactly, yes. If the number goes up, then probably we have to, yes.
Yeah. What's it like to be opening a restaurant during these times right now? Because, you know, we kind of thought we were getting out of it a little bit.
Right. It's actually, I think it's a lot, I feel like a lot better situation than a year ago. Definitely. Yes. But still, it's, we got out of it, but it's not, looks like out yet. So,
I can see, even like walking in here, your business plan is indoor dining.
Yes, there's no outside seating yet. I mean, yes.
But there's a lot of space in here.
It is. So we're going to make sure that we have, you know, like, space.
Did you have to do, as you were doing construction, did you have to look into ventilation?
We actually, fortunately, we had a good ventilation system in the place, so it's good.
So what should we order? What would you say are your best recommendations?
Oh, definitely our strong point is karaage, which is Japanese fried chicken, and curry. I didn't even really finish the sentence, but curry. We have this bao bun with the curry short rib, which is kind of like a deconstructed my curry dish into this bao sandwich. So that's the another things to go to. And of course, sushi. That's my strongest point. So we get pretty strong sushi stuff.
What's is it the skill in sushi? Is it like, what are some of the, like, how do you know if a piece of sushi is, like, really good? Is it the roll? Is it the piece? Is it the cut?
I think it's a best way to tell is, I think, a rice. Like, the rice texture of the rice and the temperature of the rice, you know. So it's really, really hard to keep the rice warm, but we're trying to differentiate the other sushi place we stick with a very simple maki, and we're gonna serve as quick as possible while rice still warm. If you could feel that, you taste very different. You can feel the difference of rice taste.
What's your favorite thing to serve?
My favorite thing to serve right now is fried chicken, actually.
The memories from your childhood?
That's exactly, yes. Yes, and my favorite dish, so. Yeah.
Fried chicken in childhood seems universal. I guess like there's every culture has a fried chicken dish that the kids eat.
I believe so, yes. It's stuck on your head and mine and never go away, you know.
Right, because there's Japanese fried chicken, there's American fried chicken,
yes.
Korean fried chicken.
Yes.
I know that Israeli fried chicken is schnitzel.
Yes, everywhere, yes.
Yeah, every culture has their fried chicken.
Yes, that's so true, yes. Everybody loves fried chicken, you know? Yes. Marinate in soy-based sauce. And then it's the crust is, we use the potato starch. And that's, I think, a difference, you know? Yeah. And seasoning is, we use Japanese Sichuan peppercorn salt. It's, you know, little tangy or like, yes, it's very unique, I think.
Yeah. What's a good side to the fried chicken?
Actually, a highball. It's a combination. So I like to, when I came up with the, want to do fried chicken, this highball is best drink to go with. So I like to everybody to order highball and fried chicken.
So do we need reservations?
Oh, no, it's a walk-in only in the front side, the izakaya side. The back side, the omakase part, probably it's going to be we're going to take a reservation. But as far as I know, the front side is walk-ins only.
How many seats do you have here in the izakaya side?
About 60 table, 60 seats, yes.
That's a nice
space. I think it's not crazy big, but it's not too small. I think it's a good size, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Kevin Yanaga, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Everybody, please come to eat. Come to see me.
And what is the website where we can find out more?
www.byyanaga.com. BYYANAGA.com.
Chef, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
That's it for this episode of What's Cooking on KYW. You can follow the show and get other delicious tidbits on Instagram at foodinthe215. And follow me on Twitter and Facebook for more news and insights at Hadas Kuznets. If you have a food tip or feedback about the show, reach out. And please take a moment to help us by rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. It helps us to keep making the podcast and get it to new listeners. I'm Hadas Kuznets, and that's What's Cooking.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one,
They're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.